KO4LAO, listening. KO4LAO, listening.
KO4LAO, KO4KCO.
KO4KCO, good evening.
Yes, sir, how are you?
Well, I'm over here. My name is Jim, and over here at the base of Paris Mountain in Traveler's Rest.
Nice to meet you. I'm Barrett from over in Clinton.
Pretty quiet on the frequency tonight.
Yes, sir. I got in just for the very tail end of the net, and I haven't heard anything the first off here since then.
What kind of signal report do you have for me, Barry?
My apologies. Unfortunately, I can't give you much of one. My little portable does not have much of a signal meter. You're maxing out the little thing that it does have.
In the same situation, mine is just a small HT as well, and don't have any meters on. Just a little scratchy, but I would imagine mine's not much stronger as well.
Yes, sir. You're coming through good and clear. Like I said, a little bit of scratch, but I imagine that could be just as much from Peter as just our devices.
By the way, you're my first ham contact, so thanks for the comeback this evening.
Sure, yes, sir. I mean, I'm a new ham as well. I only got my license back in the beginning of December, so I'm out here just working away, trying to make contacts as well.
I'm doing the same. I took the tests a couple of weeks ago. It was last Saturday, and got everything squared away here. So this is my first real opportunity to get out and see if this small HT works.
So glad I could help you out. Hope everything continues to go well for you.
To you, I'll be clear here in the 73 to you.
73 to you as well.
4LAO.
KO4LAO, listening.
Yeah, this is K4OIM. The name's Walt. I'm in Inman. And you are wide open. I mean, you're just clear as you can be.
Pretty amazing, Walt. Yours is very clear as well. I'm at the base of Paris Mountain here in Traveler's Rest. It's a pretty clear night out here. I was just talking with Barry, KO4KCO, his was a little bacon fried in the background, but yours is pretty strong and pretty loud.
Another guy, I believe he's KO4LAP. He's been checking into the net the last couple of nights. He just got his license a week ago. And he thinks he's got to go out and spend a lot of money to get this hobby. I've been a ham 32 years now. Back when I got my test, I was a novice. And you had to learn CW code. And I swore if I ever get 5 words a minute, I'll never use it again. And back then, a novice ticket, the only place you were allowed to use phone was on 10 meters from 28.3 to 28.5. And I stayed on there on CW. I finally went and took the tech test and October of 2017, passed it, went back a month later and took a test for general and passed it. I don't know if I'm going to fool with upgrading to the advanced class or not. I'm thinking about it, but I'm just enjoying talking on the radio.
I'd have to admit my son is the one that got me into this. He's down in Atlanta. I think his call sign's KE4IP. He got me this small HT I bet 3 years ago. And it's just been sitting in a box, and finally I decided it was time to buckle down, and so I went last Saturday to the Red Cross up here in Greenville and took the technical and the general exams and got through both of those. So I got my license from the FCC earlier this week, and so I'm just getting a chance to try the radio out and see how things work.
General at the same time and got it?
So it took me about 2 weeks to get through it. As a kid, I used to be a cadet in the Civil Air Patrol, and I'd actually had an old Heathkit radio, if you know what those were, and I think I only had four or five crystals on it, but I got started in that. My dad let me bore a hole through the wood floors we had in our house, and had an antenna, dipole antenna set up, and actually took it with me to college, but I got out of it, went in the military, and didn't have much to do with it then, although I did a lot of talking in the on the radio in the military. So I had some background in it, but I'll admit it took a while for me to sit down and get the books out and figure out what was what.
I had that old Heathkit you had. I'm 73 years old, and 2 years ago I had a stroke, and I've got a 32-foot camper out here in my daughter's backyard that I don't live in. I took the beds out and got me a desk on one side and a workbench on the other one. And I've got an old Holocrafter SX-99. That was my novice receiver. Back then, they wasn't no transceivers. And I ordered a kit to recap it. It came in last week, and I've been working on it, and now I got an old Holocrafter SX-101A I've already went through, and I got to get it sandblasted and get the cabinet painted. But I enjoy the hobby, and I still love working CW. Sometimes I wonder why the FCC got rid of it, but if they hadn't, they wouldn't have been no newcomers coming in. I've got a desk full of keys in here, but it's a great hobby, and you don't have to spend a lot of money. This radio I'm talking on, I bought off of eBay for, I think I paid $20 or $30. It's a Yaesu CPU 2500. It was one of the first radios that come out with a CPU unit in it. And it works great. And when I first got on, I didn't have an antenna. I had an old car that had a mag mount cell phone antenna on it. I took it off, loosened up the set screw, threw the antenna away, and cut a piece of 18-inch wire off of a coat hanger and stuck it in there and talked just like I'm talking now.
For LEO, yeah, I think that's pretty amazing stuff. Even with the stuff that I did as a kid, I was amazing that I got out there. But it is a very interesting hobby, and there's so many parts of it now that I just never even knew about that exists, especially with the digital and all of the different signals that you can send, which was when I went back through the licenses and study for that. It's pretty amazing.
I've got rid of all my old transmitters and all, and finally, about 4 or 5 months ago, I sold my Kenwood TS-440 SAT, and I had a friend out in Indiana I'd been talking to on 80 meters, and he had bought, his grandson got into ham, for his birthday, Ed went and bought him a Yazoo MT-450 with a signal link hookup and the cat cables and everything. He's going to give it to him for his birthday. And on his birthday, he came over and he ran in. I said, "Grandpa, you know what Mom and Dad bought me for my birthday? They bought him a Icon 7300. So his grandpa was stuck with this radio. I ended up buying it off of him and got a pretty good deal on it. But I don't know much about computers, and this thing's got all those, it's got 100-something menus in it. And I can't get it to turn on to where I can send CW K4OIM for ID.
Well, Walt, I'll have to tell you, I think CW is something I aspire to. It's something I'd really like to learn. I flew airplanes in the Air Force, and, you know, we used to have to do a signal ID on navigation aids, and about the only letter I know is I for ILS, which is a dot dot. That's about the extent of my CW knowledge.
I said I'd never use it if I ever learned to pass the 5 words per minute. Right now, I'm at sometime between 18 and 20 words per minute, but I've got the radio to do it, and I don't know how to go into the menus and set the thing up.
Young kid, to get an Icon 7300, that's quite a lot of radio for a young fella.
That's probably about the best, the top of the line for the money. You can get them now for about $900. They started out at about $1,300 or $1,400, and Yazoo or Icom ain't come out with nothing to touch them.
I'd like to have one eventually, but right now I'm building my inventory, so I'm started with this little HT that I've got in my hand here, and I've got some on order, but it seems like the inventory's low, or it's hard, a little harder to get the radios. I'm not sure what's going on.
Heard somebody on here the other day complaining about MFJ. They had ordered stuff or either sent things down there to be repaired, and they had already paid for certain items or already sent the radio or whatever it was to be repaired, and they complaining they've not got anything back. But the problem is this virus. MFJ's run out of parts to repair. They've run out items to sell. They waiting on it to come in from China or Russia or wherever it comes from. This virus has really messed everything up.
Yeah, I know we're being more careful about that as well. My father-in-law's almost 91 years old, and we're trying to avoid us getting exposed to it so he doesn't get exposed to it. But, and even at our church, they're the same thing. Attendance is way down.
I had that stroke and fell out my shack door and broke my neck. And that was 2 years ago, but still my immune system has been way down. And I caught the virus. Thank God it was a light case of it. I stayed down for about 2 or 3 weeks, and I waited till 3 weeks after I got my all clear sign and went and got my flu shot on Saturday. And on Monday, I thought I was going to die. I kept the flu for about 3 weeks, and it was a whole lot worse than that virus was. And they finally scheduled me to get that vaccine next Thursday at 3:30 down here at USCS, and they say they already running out of it. This will be the second time I've been scheduled to get it, and I don't think I'm going to get it.
My daughter works up at the hospital, and she had it. She caught it from a patient, even though they were trying to be very careful. She still wound up getting it, and she was down for about 2 weeks. As a nurse, she's working there, and they followed all the protocols, but she still wound up picking it up. My father-in-law's trying to get his shot. I think he's scheduled for sometime in February.
Through that, and the VA is even worse. I haven't seen a doctor at the VA in almost 3 years. I went back two weeks ago and had blood work done, and then they called me and told me that my doctor had quit the VA, and they gonna reschedule me to see a nurse practitioner. I said, no, ma'am, I've been through this for 3 years. I've got to see a doctor. Because they sent me the report back from my lab work, and something about my cholesterol level is saying critical. I called to Columbia, and they said, yeah, we'll get you scheduled to see a doctor right quick. And then they called me and told me, we can't get a doctor. We got one down here in Columbia that can do a virtual visit. I said, just forget it. So, and then my family doctor, pretty little girl, because she ended up getting married, and she's pregnant, and she ain't seeing nobody while this virus is here.
Well, I don't blame her for that, KO4LAO for ID. But I think, I've heard folks have great service and not so good service at the VA. I personally try to stay away from it if I can and just use my family doctor.
That new VA hospital over there in Greenville, it is one heck of a building. And when I went back 2 weeks ago to get my blood work, you walk up to the front door, they stop you there and ask you a lot of questions. And I had my mask on. You go in the door, they take your mask off and tell you to put it in your pocket or you'll throw it in the can. Then they check your temperature and all and ask you if you had a call for anything like that. Then they finally let you go in there. And when you go in, they've got all the rows of seats. There'll be one empty seat, two of them taped off, and then one, and then two taped off. And they was putting hardly anybody in there. I don't know. This virus is... They're going to have to speed these shots up. It's killing me, people.
It doesn't seem to be the most efficient plan. I'll grant you that. I've heard, just listened to the radio here with several folks in the last several days. A lot of folks seem to get an appointment and then they wind up having to reschedule or something. I know there's a lot of folks waiting.
Where do you live at, Jim? And how old are you?
Early 60s and up here just at the base of Paris Mountain, if you know where the Walmart is and Travelers Rest, just up behind that.
Back before I retired, I was a heavy equipment operator. I've worked about everywhere. I hated it when I had to go up on Paris Mountain or Glassy Mountain to do clearing and dig a footing for a house. All that rock. Yeah, and you said you was in the Air Force and flew planes. I was in the Navy. I was what they call a mud sailor, a CB. And I was stationed out at Point Magoo, California, right there at Malibu Beach. The only thing that separated us from Malibu was the 8-foot chain link fence. And for my duty, I'd have to go down. One night I had to go down into Santa Barbara and pick up this flight crew. And I went up, knocked on the door, and this guy come to the door. They were in there partying. And he gave me $20 and said, go down the street and get you a pizza and come back in about an hour. I went back, picked them up. They were drunk as a dog. And one of them was a pilot, the other one was a co-pilot fixing to leave the base flying to Hawaii.
Well, I for sure know that there's a lot of air crews out there that have taken of the grape, as they say. It seemed to be a tradition, although I'll have to say today's Air Force, today's military, boy, that really is downplayed an awful lot. It's because you couldn't afford to be that way or get yourself in trouble drinking and driving and that kind of stuff, but because that pretty well ended your career.
I was in the four-section duty section. I got duty every 4 days. Well, every 4 nights. And I'd usually pick up a rental car and go pick up the pilots and the crew and all and take them back to the base because 99% of them lived around Santa Barbara or Santa Monica. And have you ever been to California?
I was stationed in San Joaquin Valley. I used to be an instructor in Strategic Air Command, and I taught guys to fly air refueling with the KC-135, and so spent a lot of time flying up and down the West Coast refueling B-52 bombers.
You had a pretty important job then. I went through welding school as a structural steel welder, and they assigned me to a division out there at Point Magoo, and I got bored. I wanted something to do, and I cross-rated over to a heavy equipment operator and went back to school at Fort Wall Navy, which was just 2 miles away, and then from there I went to Vietnam. And then back to San Diego, no, back to Fort Barnemi from MCB-1 and joined MCB-71, went back to Vietnam, and then back to Davisville, Rhode Island. And I had 6 months left on my enlistment, and they were going to, they had attached me to MCB-7, and they were going to extend my enlistment 6 months so I could go back to Vietnam. I'd done been over 18 months, and thank God I got out of that. They sent me to Sun Valley, Rhode Island to go through jungle warfare, and it was the average high during the daytime up there in January and February was 14 degrees. Up there going through jungle warfare to go back to Vietnam. What a trip.
Well, that sure didn't seem like a good climate to be going to jungle warfare. Now, we had to go through survival school, but we did all ours on the West Coast up in Washington State. Up in the forests up there.
Yeah, I done my 4 years and came home. Came home, but I never got hurt. Got scared to death. We were home ported out of Cameron Bay over there. And 99% of the time, we didn't know where we were at. We went over into Cambodia and built some bunkers there for the South Vietnamese to use, and we went back to Cameron Bay and came back to the States. for 3 months, and then I went back with MCB-71, and they sent us back over into the bunkers. We weren't even supposed to have been in Cambodia. Richard Nixon lied. He's the one that sent us over there. But we went back into Cambodia and looked at that complex, all those bunkers. The South Vietnamese had stripped all the plumbing out, all the copper wiring and everything, and just left them abandoned, and the North came in, and that's where they were shelling Saigon from, in the bunkers that we built, where we weren't supposed to be.
Before LAO, my dad was at Tonsaduke in the early 70s, and he was there when they went into the Parrots Beak area, and I remember him bringing home some military script and those Montagnard crossbows, so I'm a little familiar with it, but it was really about 8 years before my time in the military.
A lot of shady stuff over there we wasn't supposed to be. We were in places we wasn't supposed to be. And that Agent Orange, I don't know why I hadn't got it. But I never got a scratch on me the whole time I was in. I lost a lot of good friends over there. But I thank God every night that I came home. And, well, the time I got home, my mother was dead, my daddy had died, but I'm just thankful to be here.
I have to say, I met some great folks in the military and was blessed as well. I think I had lost a few friends in pilot training, but for the most part, I didn't get exposed to anything that was too exciting. Nothing like some of the earlier generation guys did. But it was a great experience. Wouldn't take anything for it. But some of it I wouldn't want to do again.
Stationed out there at Point Magoo, Pacific Missile Range, Hell's Angels stormed the main gate. They wanted to come in and get them to load their motorcycles on and let them go to Vietnam. They said they could clear it out, settle that war. But they had security everywhere over the Hell's Angels wanting to go to Vietnam.
Well, they should have let them.
Not much about them anymore. After I got out, went through heavy equipment operator school, and that's what I did till I retired in, I've been retired 12 years now, and still want to go back to work, but when I had that stroke and broke my neck, the only thing it messed up is I can't use 3 fingers on my left hand anymore. And I'm a net controller in training. That's what John's been calling me. And I'm going to take over the net on Tuesday night. They've had several operators leave, and Karen, the lady up in Columbus, her radio died, and she always called the net on Tuesday night. And David Short on net controller, so I've been sitting here every night with my legal pad out, taking call signs and writing names and where they at. This ain't no easy thing to do, because some of them come on there like they are an auctioneer at a car auction, giving their call signs and where they at.
See a lot of people around here. The nets are pretty big, so I've been pretty impressed with that so far. But I can imagine it takes a bit of time to learn who all's and listen to who all's checking in on the net. Barry, Walt, I'm going to let you go and clear the frequency so somebody else may want to talk. Thanks for a good conversation, and I'll be clear in 73 to you.
73, Jim. I enjoyed talking to you. Be sure and check into the net.
What time is it on Tuesday?
9 o'clock every night, 7 days a week. And on Wednesday night, KI4DOS Gary, they have a swap net after the regular net check-in's over. And they got, you want to buy something or sell something, it's on there.
I'll definitely check it out and see if I can start checking in Lynette on a regular basis. Thank you for that information. But I'll be clear on this, and this is KO4LAO. Clear.
73, Jim. K4, I am clear.